So we're officially at the halfway point of 2023. And what's interesting about this year is that I had higher expectations. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, like fireworks or fucking crazy releases every single 2 weeks, but at least something, you know, to be able to keep me going. And to be quite honest with you, over the past 6 months, there hasn't been much. And that's what I want to talk about in this episode too, is just how I kind of form my list for the top 10 songs of the year for the rap genre. And it being the first time where like nearly 60% of my list is entirely underground hip hop, which I find to be pretty cool. So while yes, like I'm still kind of confused about the year and I'm kind of underwhelmed as a whole, I still am enjoying certain artists this year.
Let me ask you this. You feel like it's the worst year in hip-hop, like, since we started podcasting, which has been, it's been, what, like, since 2020?
Well, I mean, we started in 2019.
Technically, on audio technically, only, yeah.
But I guess you could say that, but I don't really remember those years it's funny, I was covering them.
It feels like a COVID year, even though it's not, you know what I mean? Like, this is the type of year that you would expect to get, like, in 2021, which was actually way busier than this year, up to this point at least. So to me, I feel like it's probably one of the worst years I've ever witnessed, even though you've had Fire in the Underground, you've had your couple of key releases that have sort of held us over for a while. So it's been decent, I guess.
It has been decent, but this gets me going. It's just like even that alarming statistic that there hasn't been a number one song in the rap genre for the first time in like May in like over 25 years. I don't know. That's like an ESPN stat, like those random stats at the end of making up that everyone gets like buzzed off over. Like,
yeah,
I don't care. Listen, I'm not worried about the number one shit. That doesn't get me hyped.
It gets me hyped, but I want to see hip hop like continuously thriving. And when you reach 6 months and there hasn't been a number one album or song, it's like, wow, what the fuck's happening, bro?
It is getting quite alarming.
So it's alarming, but I think that the second half of the year, to be more positive, is going to be pretty jammed. I feel like we're going to get a lot of big releases from different artists that are in the mainstream. So I think we have a lot to look forward to, at least. But guys, let us know what are some of your favorite songs of the year. And if you guys are new to the audio experience, make sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple. Please give us a 5-star rating if you'd like to and leave us a review. It helps us out a bunch. But before we actually get into our top 10 list, I wanted to ask you, what have been some of your most played songs in 2023 that didn't drop in 2023?
Okay, very interesting conversation. So yes, obviously I've been going back and doing my digging and being invested in certain things. Let me actually open up my Apple Music. I'll give you some stuff that I've been bumping this week that hasn't dropped in a minute. Well, first of all, I want to shout out the new Georgia Smith song,
Little Things.
Absolutely incredible. I love the track. If this was a list based on, let's say, every single genre, I would have went with some Daniel Caesar, would have went with some Georgia Smith and a couple of other additions. But what have I been going back to? I mean, honestly, a lot of my listening has also been in the EDM section and just being in house music. Like, I've been on Smooth Talk EP by Lure. At the time of this episode, I'm not sure if the recording is going to be out, but I'm going to speak about him for a bit, maybe in a future episode. So his EP has been heavy in rotation as of late. Even for myself, Operations Doomsday by MF Doom, that's been a major mainstay within my rotation. Life After Death by Biggie, that has been a big album in my rotation this year as well. Ignorance is Bliss by Skepta, that's been another album that I've had a lot of fun with this year. Cat by Hiroshi Suzuki, this was an album that I spoke about on the podcast before. Been going back and forth on that. And then for the most part, it's been your run-of-the-mill stuff, obviously, like the Kendrick, the Kanye, the Drake, and the mixtapes. 1999 by Joey Badass has had a heavy place in my rotation too. But how about you? What do you got?
Show Me by Joey Badass off of 2000 has been probably my most played song of the year, which came out, you know, obviously last year. And I love the sample off that track and seeing Joey in a more zen and chill sort of mode where he's more melodic. That's been a nice, refreshing song for me this year. I've also been getting into this new R&B artist called Kamari, which I'll save for a new episode. But if this was a list on like top 10 songs, any genre, that was going to make it without a doubt. But yeah, let's get into our list, bro. So my number 10 for today is going to be Watch This by Lil Uzi Vert, the Plug and B remix by Arizona Tears. And there's a pretty cool story behind this song. So Watch This was actually an Uzi leak from 2019 that everybody thought was going to be featured on Eternal Take, but it didn't end up cracking the track list.
Yeah.
But then a bit later on, the song ends up leaking in full. So now what's cool is that this producer, Arizona Tears, put out this Plug and B remix that he did to the leak on SoundCloud in 2022, and it went fucking viral on TikTok, bro. So many videos made using this remix. And then Uzi and like Atlantic Records are like, well, this is a fucking hit. that we should be releasing on streaming platforms. That's exactly what they did in February of 2023. And I just love the whole idea that, like, it's cool for the fans, bro, that they actually can create a song, you know, taking vocals from an artist, putting their own spin on it, and it reaching a point where the artist wants to release it themselves and collaborate. Like, that's just... It's a dream. It's a fucking fan's dream come true, and it ended up happening.
The fairy tale sort of stories that you
it is, and I love this song because Uzi's hook is electric on this. It gives me the same feeling that I get when I listen to Just Wanna Rock in terms of how simplistic it is. It gets you moving. It's perfect for live crowds, and in terms
really one of the best songs of all year.
One of the best songs of the year for me, without a doubt. Yeah, because like that whole plug and B sound has really taken over in the last 2 years, and I feel like although Uzi isn't one of the pioneers of the sound, he gave us one of the best versions of that subgenre with this track, and I can't stop playing it. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right. My number 10 is Can't Nobody by Lil Wayne. And this was interesting because when it ended up like coming out, you saw featuring DMX, and it was like, whoa, okay, we're going to be getting a new DMX feature. Posthumous, of course. And then you realize that he's actually implemented into the production, and it's just a sample. So I'm not sure if I'm a fan of the marketing
it's
behind
like
it.
It's like that Swizz Beatz cheese, because he did that same thing for his own album, where you saw like Jay-Z featured on a Lil Wayne song, and it was Cap, you know?
Yeah, and I guess it kind of creates false hopes for marketing, but whatever. I was cool with it. But yeah, this is an incredible song by Lil Wayne, and I was sleeping on Wayne with this track list when it came out, let's say. Not this track list, excuse me, this track, because
you
remember...
You were sleeping on Wayne in general, bro.
What do you mean? I have him in every single free smoke.
Bro,
I've been defending this guy since the beginning of time. I'm not gonna dick ride everything just for the like just for the
all
case
I'm
of Lil
saying
Wayne.
Is that we've had this conversation already, but when Can Nobody came out, I sent it to you. I said, it's crazy. You're like, bro, I'm not down to listen to like new Wayne. And I'm like, bro, what do you mean?
I was just fed up. I had a bit of a fatigue. I'm not going to lie to you.
Why, though? He hasn't even dropped that much.
It was just the auto-tune was getting to me, and I was in a different mode, let's say, with my music. I get a bit moody at certain points. But regardless, though, I gave it a listen, and I'm going to be fair with it. This is a top 10 song of the year so far. So you're getting Wayne on like this sort of C5 vibe, where, you know, he's not necessarily... in his prime, but he's rapping like isn't it like he's in his prime, but you hear the age on him, which I find so cool. And of course, the whole like DMX groan and like the shout is implemented perfectly with the drums, and it's nice because there's a nice build up with it. As I said, it's something maybe that you might find on like a C4 or C5, so brought me back to that time, and I think it cracked my list.
I have it on my list too, just a bit higher up, so we'll get to that one later for myself. But next up at number 9, I have Forever by K Tremaine, and this was one that I knew was going to crack my list, and I'm just a sucker for artists that are able to implement hip-hop with other genres, and that's sort of what you're getting with this track here. You're getting a nice blend of dance music with hip-hop, and those end up making for some of my favorite songs. I mean, you have Kanye who's done it in the past, you have Drake that's done it in the past, but to see the first sort of taste of what K Tremaine was going to be was spectacular to me, and obviously it ended up still being the best song off of that whole album, which was a bit underwhelming, but...
I feel like it created such big hopes for me for the album, and then I got the album, and I'm like, well, I could have gotten a tracklist full of Forevers, and I would have been much happier. But yeah, I'm going to be speaking about this song much later in the episode.
Much later? Sure. Like a top 5 placement?
Maybe. We'll see what ends up happening with my list.
What do you got at number 9?
Okay, number 9, I have Mama Callin' by Young Senju. And you sent me this album, Fajella sent me this album, and this is going to be Black Man Wonderland by Young Senju. And I didn't expect this from him. I'm not even going to lie to you. I've been on this album for maybe, what, like 2-3 weeks at this point, and Mama Callin' has been in my rotation heavy. I love the concept of the song because Young Senju is trying to juggle the fame and also his priority and relationship with his mother, and you get these beautiful guitar riffs all the way through. It's extremely groovy as a record. Feels like something that would come out straight out of Los Angeles, so I really like it for that vibe as well, and it's just interesting to see the way that Young Senju plays with his vocals throughout the entire project, but I feel like this is one of the best displays of that for a song on the album, where like you get him in more like high-pitched sort of cadences in comparison to sometimes where he wants to sing a bit more and get a bit more melodic, and he brings it down a bit and it's a bit more smooth. So I really do enjoy the song, and I was like, you know what, this is gonna sneak into my top 10
did
so
you
far.
End up picking up on like some of that T-Pab influence?
Yes, I have.
You
yeah
did, eh?
and the Kendrick influence is prominent, but he kind of wears it to his advantage. You know, it's just, it's him trying to be intentional with his artistic value, if that makes sense to you. It's not like a copy paste sort of
situation. No, definitely not. But yeah, I'm definitely rooting for Young Senju. And that's sort of the interesting thing about, you know, being a fan of underground artists, is that you're rooting for them so hard. You know what I mean? You want to see them really take it to the next level. And someone like a young Senju, someone like an Ice Cold Bishop, they've dropped some of the best albums of the year. And I hope that they get more listeners and more ears on their projects, because they're fucking worthy of it, bro. They're making some of the best and most thought-provoking music to me of the year. But my number 8 pick, let's move on to that. I have What a Day by Tyler, the Creator, and it won't be the only estate sale song that I have on this list. And this was such a fucking treat to get, because this was taken from an old beat tape from Madlib that Tyler apparently used to skate home to as a kid. This was something he was talking about in the interview that he did with Rap Radar, where he would put this song on and would sort of just put him in a peaceful mood. And I'm getting that same feeling listening to it now. I absolutely love the vocal sample. I love the atmosphere being set up by the production, because you also have these birds whistling in back. And this is Tyler keeping it 100, bro, with us from beginning to end. You hear him venting about how he'll never be with a girl who isn't intelligent, like how someone's intellect is more value to him over their appearance or whatever other bullshit. He's also rapping about like how he's never tried lean, never posted a TikTok, like just super poetic rhymes that are well articulated. And you're getting Tyler in this vulnerable state and him just spitting facts, bro. And it's super refreshing to hear an artist be as honest as Tyler was on this track. And it sounded like to me like this was made during like the final studio session for the Call Me If You Get Lost era, where he's like, fuck it, I'm putting everything on the table for this one, I'm gonna talk my shit and get it out. And it just sounds like he's out of patience and fucks to give with his demeanor and approach for the song.
Almost reminds me of like a 327 verse, if I'm being honest with you. Like that sort of vibe for me for Tyler, where he's so confident and in his bag, but yet he sounds so relaxed and subdued on the track to where you can't necessarily tell what type of time he's on. So interesting pick. I was going to include it, but I tried to be a bit more diverse. I'm like, well, do I want to go to with the estate sales? But ultimately, yeah, I think that it is in the upper echelon.
Well, listen, bro, like I'll give you this example. If this was like 2015, you can't tell me you wouldn't have like two Butterfly songs.
That's very
on your
true.
Top 10 list.
That's very true. But let me keep going on with this. My number 8 selection is actually Rapper Weed by Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel off of their new album called Maps. And shout out to Connor OG. He's been shouting in our fucking live streams for us to go listen to this album. And I finally got around to it. It's been a couple of weeks that I have it in rotation at this point, and honestly, I have been enjoying it. And I'm not going to say that the entire project is accessible, but I think the one song that everyone is going to enjoy if you are a diehard hip-hop listener is Rapper Weed, because it's a lot more of like a subdued sort of song for the rest of the track list. You know, you have Billy Woods talking about drug dealing and street lingo, but also bringing in the stoner sort of aspect to the track, which is really cool. And then you get this super unorthodox production that kind of sounds, I would say, psychedelic to a certain extent, but a hint of boom bap and lo-fi, and it kind of creates this really hazy atmosphere between the production and Billy Woods. And what's interesting is that more and more that I'm diving into Billy Woods' music, the more and more I'm starting to realize that he is one of the most gifted rappers right now on a writing level in the underground. Yeah. And he literally has the title underground like rap whenever he releases an album, because he understands maybe how inaccessible his music might be to a general audience.
Yeah, of course.
But when it comes down to the material itself, you know that you're going to be getting A1 quality all the time. And that's the same way I felt about Aethiopes, for example, that came out last year, you know? So shout out to Billy Woods. Yeah. I wanted to crack this on my
list.
He's
like the people's MVP, you know what I mean? When it comes to the underground scene and the hip-hop listeners that are super invested into everything that sort of gets slid under the rug by a lot of publications and by a lot of general music listeners, Billy Woods was always championed and was always getting praised by music critics like the Fantanos, people that really go deep in with their music commentary. So interesting. I kind of went through a bit of the album. It was hard for me to really stick through all of it, I'll be honest. I got to give it a second
it's
listen.
It's not very accessible.
Like,
I
preferred Hiding Places off of a first listen, which is another collaboration between Kenny and Billy.
Well, I will say this. I think the thing with Maps is that it's a bit more subdued and kind of a bit more relaxed in tone than something like Hiding Places that has that horrorcore sort of like edgy feel to it. Whereas if this, it's just fucking Billy Woods like ripping raps together or was like some like more mellowed out sort of production. So
curious to see if it makes your top 10 albums list.
We'll see what happens.
Of the year so far.
I don't think it will, though.
You don't think so? Okay.
I'm not sure.
My number 7 is going to be Leak by My Name Isn't Jack. And I discovered this song this year, and it has this lo-fi jazz vibe to it. But it's a rap song that has modern and vintage elements, is, and that's kind of the reason why I like it so much, is that you have sort of this young, relatable persona of this guy who's sort of fucked up on drugs, and he has this slurred delivery. But you also have this incredible soul sample, and you have a beat switch and true lyricism. So this is one of those songs that I feel like could appeal to a younger audience and an older audience at the same time. And he has some of the most original flows I've heard in a long time. Super emotive rapper, and he's sort of going in about, you know, rapping about his friends feeling like, you know, they're sort of putting more pressure on him because they feel like he's about to pop off as a rapper, and he's sort of venting through the nerves, the anxiety that puts him through. And yeah, the song's fun. It's political at times, and he's just spilling out his most like vulnerable insecurities and life aspiration. And it's one of those songs that just is able to pack in so fucking much in 4 minutes. Like I said, it has that amazing beat switch. You have funny and cool movie references that are also sprinkled in here. And if you like two-part songs, you'll love this song. If you like pop culture and movie references, you'll love it. If you're into Mac Miller's music, I'll also say that you'd be very into this song because of that lo-fi sort of feeling that's implemented into this track. And again, My Name Isn't Jack is one of the most underrated artists right now. Doesn't have the biggest following, but he's someone to definitely look out for.
Okay, so very interesting. Let me go on to my number 7, and this was actually recommended to me in the music recommendation stream that we do every so often on the Twitch every Wednesday night, and this is Rainfalls by Graf 38 Spesh and Conway the Machine off of Graf and 38 Spesh's new project called Art of Words. And I got recommended this to me, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is incredible. This is so fucking sick. You're getting this sort of like classic Griselda sort of production where it's boom bap, but also has like that New York implement to it as well. And what's cool is that each and every single guy from a technicality standpoint delivers so much, whether it be someone like Graf or 38 Spesh or even Conway. And I feel like also what's cool about all three of the rappers is that they all have a special and unique cadence that blend in well with one each other. So if you follow the song structure all the way through, you will be invested. And I feel like on a technicality level, just as far as like how much you could get out of a song, this is definitely going to be one of the best of the year. It's a song that I've had in my rotation the entire year. And especially looking out of the Griselda camp, it's not that I've been disappointed, it's just that they've been a bit more quiet. So when I do get releases like this, I'm very happy. I'm always in the mood for this, and I'm definitely invested.
I think you might have chosen the wrong Conway song. I'm not going to lie to you, because my next song is actually a song that features Conway. Do you have any other Griselda moments on your list here?
This is my only one.
This is your only one? Okay, my number 6 is going to be Ain't Too Much To It by Static Selecta featuring Conway the Machine, Bun B, and Absol. And already after listening to that Static Selecta project, there were quite a few songs in contention, even though it hasn't been released for that much time. But this is one of the most entertaining collaborations you'll get from three rappers this whole entire year. And these are three rappers who have all like earned their stripes as top of the line MCs in the game. And they all have near perfect verses, bro. And it's one of those rare moments, too, where you're getting a production that is so different from any other instrumental in the game, in the sense that it's extremely slow paced. It's patient. It's a very open beat. It leaves the rappers a lot of room to play around with and be sort of experimental with their deliveries and flows. You have these beautifully pronounced keys, a nice vocal sample, and also a crazy drum drop that kicks in about a minute in. So not only are you being entertained by the bar work, but Static Selecta isn't giving you your run-of-the-mill boom-bap beat either. And Conway raps super creatively about how he's going to dismantle his enemies, and he gives you probably his best performance in over a year. Like, this is a better performance than anything off of the album that he dropped this year. And then Bun B follows suit with the theme of the project as well and absolutely fucking kills it. Then you have Absol, who sort of takes a different approach, painting a picture of a man who's become hopeless because of his circumstances and how he feels like the streets are sort of closing in on him. And I love how animated he sounds on the song too. And I don't know if you remember the listen, but there's a part towards the end of the track where the beat completely fades away and he's like, fuck, like I wasn't expecting this. I needed another snare or a kick in here. So you sort of have that humor of just the craft of the track and the way that they were able to sort of play along with the instrumental and poke fun at the relationship they had with the beat itself. And yeah, just one of the most calming lyrical displays you'll get all year long. So absolutely love it.
That's a big W, because I'm going to have a song from this song that actually made my list.
So, I know where you're going with this.
I think you know where I'm going with it. But I mean, okay, just to talk a bit more about the Griselda sort of stuff, right? I feel like for once in my life, I'm feeling the absence of Griselda to a certain extent. Over the past couple of years, it's been fun because even when there's not these major popular albums dropping, you always get those sleeper albums from Griselda. And yes, you have gotten a couple, but you haven't gotten the most. I mean, Boldy James now has just been absolutely ripping releases, so maybe the releases don't feel the same anymore. West Side Gun is supposed to drop this summer. Conway Again is supposed to drop this summer.
So is Benny the Butcher.
So is Benny.
I haven't really... I felt the absence just because it's been a slower start to the year for them, but they're still going to like make their voices heard this year.
Sure. I think they do every year, and I think their consistency is unmatched. I'm just saying, up to this point in 2023, yeah, I think their absence is being felt. So shout out to the entire Griselda camp. They're doing is absolutely incredible.
What's your number six?
My number six is Chinatown Trouble by Janbo, and this is a single that
really
dropped
this is
year.
Top 10.
This is in my top 10, absolutely. So I've had this song on repeat, and man, I love the energy that Janbo brings in, and he's just rapping with such elegance, class, and so much smooth energy. And it's cool because he's paying back homage to like where he's from and his roots. I mean, I've spoken about Janbo in our artist showcase, to where we go through different artists and talk about artists that may not have the most appeal. And Janbo is still underground, only 50,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. And when this single released, it just convinced me on his craft and what he's able to do as an MC. So going into the content matter of the song, he's talking about stuff like, well, he's from a war-ridden town, let's say in the UK, with all the street violence that's going in, but his father and his mother, when they were, let's say, back in their homeland, were in the same situation, but just in a different place. And I love that parallel to it. Not only that, but I also think when you're looking at the UK scene right now, there are some of the best productions coming out right now in hip hop from that scene and from that area. And this is a perfect example of that. You're getting this super unorthodox production that kind of has these sort of like glitch and grind sounds, if that makes sense to you, and it almost feels like a James Bond score to where it's so mysterious. And Janbo's also spoken about his inspirations, and I spoke about this on another audio podcast, but his whole sound and aesthetic is very influenced by 90s Hong Kong cinema and film, and I've never experienced that, let's say, in rap music. So it's allowed me to dive into, let's say, a new subgenre, a new subfield that I've never really gone through before. So just on the new experience, it's been really nice. I wanted to shout him out because I've had this song playing in the whip all kinds. The drums on this track are absolutely fantastic as well. I can't speak enough about it, so I wanted to include it.
All right, W. So now we move into our top five. Before we do, I want to look at some other lists that people put together so far this year, and I want to get your opinions on what Hip Hop DX put together, okay?
All
so
right, let's do it.
They put in The Hillbillies by Baby Keem and Kendrick Lamar as a top song of the year. And of course, you're a massive fucking Kendrick and Keem fan. So was this in contention for you?
It was not in contention for me. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it was a nice Lucy, but we're making lists here, you know, and we're leading up to end of the year lists. I feel like when you're doing that, you have to be able to narrow it down to certain tracks that fit certain criterias. And yes, while I do understand that people are enjoying this track, it is in rotation for certain people. Kendrick and Baby Keem didn't do anything special for me on the track. While I do think it's catchy, it's nothing too impressive. The production, I mean, it's cool. Is it the best thing I've heard all year? Absolutely not. And I don't even think that was the point of the track. Like, they wanted to be able to drop this just to keep some people happy and just to be able to make a dub over to Sticky as well. So
yeah,
I respect it, but definitely not.
They were just
my
sort
list.
Of letting loose, but I don't think it's a top quality track. And I feel like us as music curators and tastemakers, we would just be disservicing you guys to put this in a top 10 list. But they also threw in All My Life by Dirk and Cole. I don't think that one's worthy enough, maybe a top 25 list.
I think a lot of people are going to have it because of the moment that it's sort of spawned. And I also think that people are a sucker for fucking J. Cole features. But I'm going to call a spade a spade. It's not the craziest J. Cole verse you're going to be getting. Yes, the content matter is cool, and I like the fresh like perspective. But, you know, we're not talking about Johnny P's caddies anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we're not having that conversation. So even Lil Durk, it was cool, but some of the auto-tune use and the way that he was extending his vocals in the middle of the verse wasn't too crazy about that.
Yeah, they also threw in Kodak Black, Gunsmoke Town. They put in Black Enough, Red Veil, and JPEG Mafia, which was kind of underwhelming. Motion God by Moneybagg Yo. They put in Play for Keeps, Mike Schaab and Nicholas Craven. Shout out to them. I haven't heard the song, but I've been loving their movement. Princess Diana remix by Ice Spice and Nicki. That's kind of an L. Alter Ego by Black Thought and Al Michelle's Affair. That's a W. Fat Racks Part 2 by Le Tyler and Babytron. I like that one.
That's a good song.
And yeah, that's sort of...
that's sort of where it's at.
Can Nobody, they included as well. A decent list. Nothing crazy, though. That's for good. Sure.
What else you got?
Top five. Let's bring it in. Number five, I have The Weather by Black Thought. And this is off of the Glorious Game album that he put together with Al Michelle's Affair. And one of the most overlooked projects of the entire year. I love Cheat Codes, and Black Thought is at it again with this new album. And this song is sort of supposed to represent Black Thought's summers and what they were like when he was growing up in Philly. And you're getting super creative imagery. Him rapping about how, like, the TV was always on in his grandmother's house as she was cooking chicken or fish. And he's really sort of, you know, taking you and putting you into his childhood home and what his days were like playing ball at the courts or, you know, eating meals at his grandmother's house. And it's just, it all comes to life thanks to the sweet low-key vocal samples and the upbeat bass line that you're getting throughout here. But the best part of the song to me are the unpredictable tempo switches that you're getting throughout his verses. So let's say halfway through the first verse of the song, the instruments speed up and so does Black Thought's flow. Not only that, but when you go into the second verse, same structure. The first half of the verse is more soft-spoken. Second half comes in, flow speeds up, so does the instrumental. And I like being kept on the edge of my seat. I like sort of getting these changes in structure that are sort of unpredictable while getting top of the line lyricism. And you do have lines on here that will cut deep. Like, for example, the only neighbor that never knocked is opportunity. Crazy. Another line is, some was married to the game, then divorced it over time. Faded pictures in a frame help to form a frame of mind. Like, there's no one as poetic as Black Thought. He proves year after year that he's one of the best rappers in the game. And this is another showcase as to why he is as good as an MC can get.
Interesting. I've kind of overlooked that project to a certain extent.
You
got to
go back, bro. I was revisiting it. I'm like, wow.
I haven't revisited that album in a minute. But let me go on to my number five. And this is where my list is going to start getting interesting. So, Life and Times by Static Selecta featuring Joey Badass.
Knew it.
On the new album.
I don't think it's the best song on that album.
For me, it is. Because you know how big of a fan I am of Joey Badass and Static Selecta collaborations. I think that they could do no wrong. I think every single time that they link up, it is a match made in heaven. I think the unique and diverse sample productions that you're getting from Static Selecta with that classic boom bap drum pattern mixed in with Joey's flows and cadences make for this incredible sound that knocks every single time. And this is nothing short of that. So, Life and Times, this is basically your run-of-the-mill Joey Badass and Static Selecta song, but the year has kind of been dry, and this is on such good quality that I had to include it into my list today. You're getting two verses from Joey, fully introspective, like I like to see, kind of maybe on the vibe of like an On and On from Before the Cash, if that makes sense to you, where he's getting introspective, he's talking about how he feels like, you know, it's too hard to survive sometimes, and he's having questions with God about, you know, why is he still living and why is he still here? And I wanted to read out this little, like, I think it's, yeah, a couple of lines on verse one. I close my eyes and start to wonder why few of us thrive, and most of us is out here barely surviving. Products of our environment, all victims to what we believe. Either way, it's change that we need in order to succeed. And I don't think you're going to find that type of writing anywhere else in the hip-hop genre right now, if I'm being honest with you, especially for 2023. I'm a big fan of the way that Joey sort of lays out his ideologies and the way that he'll dive into certain pockets of writing to be able to further expand on that ideology. And what's cool about Joey on this song, too, is that he's not going to just present it to you. He's going to break it down line per line like he does on All American Badass or 1999, where he's getting super philosophical and he's giving you the value you want. So match that in with this classic Static Selecta boom bap production, made my list.
Fire. I mean, I could see why it didn't make 2000. I feel like it would have been one of the lower ranking songs off that album. But
I feel like the only criticism I might have with it is that, not that it was mixed weird, but it was mixed weird.
It was, yeah. But that's sort of the vibe for the whole project.
It is.
The vocals were mixed a bit low.
But I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I was okay with that.
Kind of a big deal.
It's not the craziest and most hectic production. It's not like you're getting rage beats and you could barely hear any of the vocals. You're getting these classic productions from Static Selected that have that boom bat drum pattern and all the jazzy instrumentals. So shout out to both of them. Another collaboration in the books. Another W in my books. Let's keep moving.
And
with
we
this.
Dive into the top four. And I feel like my number four pick is either going to be your number four pick or your number three pick.
All right, go for it.
Can you guess what it is?
Palisades, California.
Palisades, California by Larry June and The Alchemist. Is that four or three for you?
No. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's not four.
It's not four. Okay, that's all we need to know. So yeah, I had to put this in here, bro. I mean, when I think about this beat, like, that's sort of the highlight. The beat and the fucking Big Sean performance. I mean, you're getting one of the most zany and unique beats from The Alchemist's entire catalog. I love that it's like this easygoing instrumental, but you're getting these mysterious synths within it.
Super psychedelic experience.
Bro, like listening to this, I feel like someone's about to get shot or like there's a jump scare that's incoming.
It's very hazy as a production as well. You don't really know where you're at when you're listening to it, but I'm going to continue speaking about my end on this
later
on.
Absolutely. But yeah, I love how Larry June just fits the mold of a luxury rapper on this song. He sounds relaxed. He sounds confident in his demeanor. He's giving us these super precise details about driving these supercars, and also of course gets into his entrepreneurial talk, which is sort of the vibe of the whole Great Escape album. But Big Sean hops in, bro, and he fucking snaps.
He
gives
destroys
us
it.
Arguably the best feature verse of the year, rapping about like doing business and taking emotion out of it, and also just gives us a cool glimpse of like where he's at in life and this new healthy path that he's on physically and mentally. And he has the meanest flow switch midway through his verse. And then he changes it up for a third time. One of his best ever performances, in my opinion. And, you know, it was the first time that Uncle Al and Big Sean hooked up. And they got me hyped for more at this point, bro. I can't wait to see what they bring. And, yeah, to me, this is just one of the most unique but hardcore hip-hop songs that you'll find all year long.
See what a good producer could do? See what a good producer
stupid,
could do.
Bro.
I haven't heard a Big Sean
stupid.
Verse like this in years, to be honest with you. So,
no, but he's been on a run, though. His last couple features have been all fire.
Yeah, but this has definitely been one of the best
the
features
best.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But let's keep going on with this. My number four is Forever by Ketramine.
There it is.
And
okay.
I wanted to bring this in today because it has been one of my most played songs of the year. And, you know, I think you did the song justice and your explanations and speaking about it. But I'm going to give my additions on it. I think that it's one of the nicest jams of the year where you're going to throw this on a sunny day and it's only gonna add to your day. I also think that the production by Ketronata is at its best. I think that that signature sound that you're getting from Ketra cannot get any better. You're getting these beautiful drums where that has a bit of like Afrobeat inspiration to them as well, and you're in a groove throughout this entire track. I've spoken about the song before and I want to say this again. I think the more and more that I listen to the track, Pharrell was a big necessity on the actual song itself. And I think when you're listening to the song, not only does it play on the hook side, but his vocals get sampled and mashed together with those Afrobeat drums that you get from Ketronata. So it creates this really nice bouncing environment. And then you get Amine on the entire track that's super charismatic. And yes, you do have certain bars that, you know, you kind of want to look back at and you're like, well, this maybe shouldn't have been included. But regardless, though, I'm still going to listen and continue engaging with it. But yes, it's just such a nice vibe to listen to this song, bro, especially in the summertime.
It is, bro. I wish there were more songs like on the album that fit into that summer type of vibe and feeling. But my number three pick, we're into the top three. I have Can Nobody by Lil Wayne this high up.
Wow,
are
you
surprised?
You put it this high? Why?
Yeah, I just think that like we've all been waiting all year long for a big rapper to give us the bar work. And that's exactly what Wayne brought in here, bro. I mean, lines like leaving bitches on their own, like the Oprah Channel, just some of the most clever punchlines you'll find all year long. I think that in terms of even like dropping an absolute anthem, Swizz Beatz and Wayne have the resume, they have the proven track record, and they fucking did it again with this. Like you were saying, you said that it brought you back to C5. Absolutely, bro. It feels like a sequel to something like Uproar, which of course was also produced by Swizz Beatz. And like you were mentioning about the DMX sample, I love the what's that are sort of introduced into the hook of the song. Sort of feels like DMX is the hype man of that track. And it ups the ante, it ups the energy. And if this is anything like the tracks that we could expect to get on the Carter 6, I'm already sold, bro. Like, this is really upper echelon shit from Wayne, so.
It is. It's nice to see him in that type of form. this late on into his career. Yeah. But I'm going to go on to my number three, and this is going to be Perfect by JPEG Mafia off of Scaring the Host.
Palisades over Perfect.
Yes, I do. Okay. So going on to Perfect, this energy is absolutely contagious. You're getting these triumphant horns that sort of start off the production, and Danny Brown is the hype man to this track where he's just keeping you engaged with this super nice hook. I think the best on the album as well. And then you get this sort of like glitch in the production where JPEG Mafia comes in halfway through and there's a slight production switch, and then boom, the beat comes back again, and then you get JPEG Mafia coming in with those crazy fucking hectic 808s, and one of the biggest bangers I've heard all year. Scaring the Hose is still in my rotation to this day. I think it's a lock for my top 10 up to this point.
Oh, that's a lock. I don't think you're gonna get nine, but like, to me, it's like low-key number one already. Are you going to get nine more that are better?
That's what I'm saying, is that I don't know what's going to surpass this at this point, and this is the best song on one of my favorite albums. So shout out to JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown.
So
this is fire.
Now I can predict your top two. Let's see if you could predict mine. So your number two is going to be Palisades CA, and your number one is going to be Sorry Not Sorry.
Maybe.
Try to guess my top two, though.
Maybe. You're going to go Perfect?
Where, number two?
I think you go Perfect number one. Okay. And then maybe, to tell me if I'm right or wrong, though.
Well, say my two and one, and then I'll get into it.
And then your number two? I don't know. I can't guess.
Number two, Sorry Not Sorry, Tyler, the Creator.
Okay, so you put it high up.
Yeah, of course. I love everything about this song. I mean, I wasn't huge on it just because I was hearing people like you and people in our live chats being like, this is one of Tyler's best songs ever. And I'm like, fuck, it just came out. How could we be saying this? But the more that I listen to it, the more that I realize that it is one of the best songs easily from the Call Me If You Get Lost era. In terms of even the way that DJ Drama sets it up with the pardon me, excusez-moi, you know, I'm so fucking sorry. Like, you have the comedic component to it as well. And just hearing Tyler rapping about, like, his mother not spending enough time with his mother, and that how that's affected their relationship a little bit. And I love that there's like a two-sided attitude to Tyler. There's Tyler being sort of sarcastic and not actually meaning his apologies, but then there's the apologies that are actually meaningful and honest. So he's sarcastic, but he's also sorrowful at different times. And cool little fact, apparently this is the longest music video shoot that Tyler has ever done. And he also debated scrapping the music video entirely because he felt like it was verging on the line of corny. I don't know if you saw him talk about that.
No, was it in the new Rap Radar podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would it be corny? Yeah, you think so? Maybe the whole thing of like
him beating himself up or whatever.
Yeah, but I felt like it was just so well done.
It was well done.
And it connected so well with the audience,
and
too.
And it gets you hyped for that next era. So, yeah, I love everything about it. The way he builds the momentum, the way that you have those builds up towards the end of the track. And then, like, it all sort of leads into this smooth-ass vocal sample. So plays with your emotions. Some of the best and most intricate writing you'll get all year. Had to put it in at number two. But talk to me now about Palisades CA.
Well, I don't have Palisades CA. No, I'm just fucking with you. Palisades CA is going to be at my number two selection. And again, I think you did the song justice in your explanations. I do think this is one of the strongest songs of the year. It has to be a lock for top five for me. And even The Great Escape as a whole, I think that this would probably be in my top three albums of the year so far, for sure. Absolutely, no doubt. And what's cool about Larry June is that he takes the mogul sort of stance on this song, but he takes it from a different perspective. Because usually with the mogul talk in hip-hop, it comes down to, let's say, the drug dealing or, you know, the mafioso gangster rap. This guy's talking about Porsches and going to Saks Fifth Avenue and spending $1,000 on candles. That's what I love about Larry June, is that it's coming from like this father sort of sense where he's not stressing over anyone. He doesn't care about anything. He cares about himself, cares about his hygiene, cares about the way that he looks, cares about the way that he carries himself. And I just find that super inspirational. I love that type of confidence, and you don't really hear it in rap all that often. Then you get this incredible production by The Alchemist that kind of feels like you're an Alice in Wonderland almost. It's fucking hazy. You feel like you're in this psychedelic hot sweat trip. It's nuts, bro. What a song. And then to end it all off, you get that Big Sean verse, which I think is probably the best guest feature of the entire year at this point. If I had to end my list today, Big Sean would be at number one all the way throughout. The track keeps me engaged. I'm there. I'm locked and loaded. Number two for me.
Okay, fire. Our top picks for the best song of 2023 so far.
It's going to be Perfect.
My number one is going to be Perfect by JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown. And when you think that you're getting a JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown song, you would think that you're in for maybe some punk rock samples or JPEG Mafia sampling the fucking notification bell from Discord. But instead, you get a beat that's so triumphant, so anthemic, and that's more traditional hip-hop. And that's what I love so much about this, is that it sounds like JPEG and Danny Brown are in a battlefield rapping over these super triumphant and stadium-esque, you know, type of sounding, you know, hip-hop beat that you would never expect to hear from them on this album. And what's cool too is that I love that you're getting JPEG Mafia's super eccentric ad-libs while Danny Brown is just rapping his ass off, being as silly and animated as ever as he's threatening to like splash someone's brains on the windshield. So you're getting also a lot of comedy within the lines of this song, and they both have super powerful performances. And this song to me is all gas, no brakes, bro. And does not slow down for a second. It just accelerates from beginning to end. And yeah, what's cool too is that apparently this song was named after the Bengals linebacker named Vontaze Burfict, who was known to be one of the dirtiest players in NFL history. And maybe that's why they sort of chose it, because this song is also like dirty in its mix and execution. But it's just the perfect storm of a hip-hop song for me in terms of having that traditional hard-knocking hip-hop beat, but having some of the most outlandish performances that keep you on the edge of your seat the whole time. So
lock for top three for sure.
Yeah, it has to be.
Lock for top three for sure. But let me go on to my number one, Sorry Not Sorry by Tyler, the Creator, off of the estate sale. Again, you spoke about the song. I think everything you said was absolutely correct about your whole explanation. When you have to go through this track, it feels like Tyler is on his horse going off in the sunset. You know, he did what he had to do with everything. He's wrapping up his Call Me If You Get Lost phase. He understands how much fandom he has built from this incredible run of albums and side characters that he's built, and now he's introducing a new phase in his career. And I'm a big sucker for the send-offs, the transition points, the hello and goodbyes. And this is exactly what this is for Tyler's discography. And when I had to do my essentials for Tyler, the Creator's discography, this was something I had to include, because if you haven't listened to this song, are you fully updated on where Tyler's at with his career, where he wants to go next, all of the things that he's felt in the past couple of years, and where he's at also with his mental? I don't think so. Also, when you look at what Tyler did on here, like you were saying, that fine line of the emotions being, well, I'm sorry for all the misfortune that my fame has created, but I'm not sorry because it's benefited me and I'm doing me, is so cool to observe and to feel, because that's an emotion that everyone feels at a certain point. I'm not saying the fame, obviously, but I'm saying being torn and, you know, choosing yourself or choosing others next to you. So also, like you were saying, him being sorry for not spending enough time with his mother or his past relationships and who gets enough time from him. All of that is super cool. It's introspective. And then that vocal sample at the end, that's where it feels like Tyler is like just walking off in the sunset, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. And it's like you said, perfect farewell song. It almost makes you think, like, when Tyler does drop his last ever song, will it give you the same emotions and feeling of a Sorry Not Sorry? Because it's a perfect send-off, the same way that like 444 by Jay-Z feels like the perfect fucking send-off. But yeah, great picks, bro. I mean, we had a lot in common on this. I feel like we had at least five or six of the same songs on both of our lists. So that was interesting to see. But a two-part question before we end this off for you. The first part to it is, which of these songs, if you had to make a prediction, do you think will crack your top 10 list at the end of the year? Excuse me. And the second part to that is, which other artists do you think will fill in this list that haven't dropped yet? So start off with the first one.
Okay,
which songs are you predicting will make it?
Palisades and Sorry Not Sorry.
Oh, those two? Okay, fair.
That's my 1-2. I think that those are probably going to make my top 10s, even Burfict, probably, by the end of this year. I mean, we're 6 months in.
Yeah.
How much more material could you possibly get,
right? Facts.
Quite interesting to think about that. Who do I think is going to get cracked in here? For sure, Travis.
Yeah, I think Travis probably.
Travis has to be a lock. I mean, he's the only like guy that I'm really excited to see stuff from, at least from the mainstream, and at least someone that started their rollout. I mean, besides Uzi, that who we haven't gotten an official word of a new date yet, and who knows with him.
I don't know if Uzi's going to have a top 10 song of the year, but he cracked my list, so maybe.
He did crack your list. So how about you? I'm going to throw those questions back at you. Who do you think is going to make the list? And who do you think is not on this list that will make the list?
Palisade CA, I think, is going to still be there. Cat Nobody, I think, is going to be replaced by another Wayne song. I do think Wayne is going to drop C6 in the fall time, but who knows? Sorry Not Sorry is for sure going to be there in Birthfix. So same sort of vibe. My top four,
I think those are absolute
are
going to
be locks. Who's going to crack this list later down the line? I think that Travis is for sure going to have at least one of those in here. I think Drake could probably squeeze one in. And Benny the Butcher. Benny's dropping in August, and I think that you know, with him linking up with Hit-Boy and Uncle Al once again, there's going to be some fucking gems on there, bro.
There will be some gems.
Without a doubt. So, yeah, we'll have to see what ends up happening, guys, but we hope that you enjoyed our lists. Let us know where we went wrong, where we went right. And if you guys are enjoying these audio podcasts, like we said, make sure to tune in every Tuesday, and that's the day that we drop them every single week. Not only that, but please leave us a 5-star rating. Write us a review if you feel like it. It would mean the world to us. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.